is 9 a.m. on September 19th, and you're listening to Good Morning Atlanta, sponsored by World Trade Center Atlanta, here on BusinessRadioX.com, a proud 2012 member of Central Atlanta Progress. You can learn more about Central Atlanta Progress at AtlantaDowntown.com. I'm Dana Barrett, and my co-host Elizabeth Gordon is still hanging out in Singapore, poor thing, but sitting in again for her this week is the very brave Peter Ashley. Welcome, Peter.
Good morning.
So you're back again.
Yeah, I am. I don't know why, but I'm back.
I know. I appreciate that. All kinds of shifting and canceling. I was chatting with one of our, well, we have two guests in the studio right now, Jewel Anderson and Gene Hammett. And we're expecting Jamie Barden hopefully to roll in. And if not, we'll just harass him, you know, because he's not here, and we'll blame everything in the world on him.
That's perfect.
It's my plan. But I was talking to Gene before we got on the air about all these cancellations and people not showing up. And I've realized that I need to start calling people a day or two in advance or emailing them and saying, by the way, you know that we're meeting on this day and time, right?
Yeah.
Why can't people just show up when they say they're going to?
Because everyone has to have a reminder for everything. So it's an assumption. If you don't get reminded, you don't have anything happen.
But can't you create your own reminders? This is my question, Gene. You're a coach. Can't people just do this for themselves? Isn't that part of being a responsible professional?
Part of being responsible. Yeah. You know, I've struggled with this myself because we were talking about this. You do have to take it upon yourself to put in your appointments and manage them the way that work for you. But it's just really individual. And I guess you have to learn the hard way sometimes that when it's important to you, you're not showing up.
Yeah.
How do you fix that?
Natural consequences.
Right. Well, I think you're also sort of saying to whoever you kind of blow off that they weren't that important to begin with, right? If you don't show up, you're like,
Or you're more important than they are.
Or you're more important than they are. Bastards. I knew there was something going on in my life. Damn it.
Internet radio. Gotta love it.
Gotta love it. You can say whatever you want. Gotta love the internet. I actually did a show once. I got a sidetrack. I did a show once, the guy said to me before we went on the air, can I curse? And I said, yeah, it's internet radio. You can say whatever you want. And so we got through the whole 30-minute interview. He didn't curse at all. And at the very end, I said, oh, you know, I'm surprised you got through the whole interview and you didn't curse at all. And then he just went on a litany and used every word he possibly could think of. So it was very fun. All right, moving on. So before we get into our guest interviews, as always, we're going to hit some of the Atlanta business news headlines. And I got to start with something that's not even Atlanta specific, and that is just iPhone 5. Because, of course, it's the big news. You can't go 2 feet without somebody talking about the iPhone 5, right?
Yeah.
So I guess they officially announced last week, like everybody knew they were going to, again, like they announced the announcement and then the announcement of the announcement back of, I don't know. Anyway, they announced it officially last week and pictures came out about what it's going to look like and how it's going to be all special. And one of the things it said was that it's LTE compatible. I had to Google that. Is that embarrassing? I didn't know what that was.
No, I didn't know that either.
That's the first I actually had seen that it was LTE compatible, and then I didn't know what it was either.
Neither. I'm like, what does that mean? Yeah. Light? What is that? LTE?
So, do you know now?
I Googled it, so I think. I mean, according to Wikipedia.
Well, it's got to be true.
Yeah. It's on the internet, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's something about a faster network or something. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was thinking, like, why do you have to already be like an engineer just to understand your phone? It's really annoying.
Well, my 4S now is a piece of junk, apparently. That's what drives me crazy.
Yeah. Right. It's history. I mean, it's outdated. It's crap.
I'm just going to wait till next year and get the iPhone 6 and make fun of the people who have an iPhone 5.
Well, I think that's what everybody does. That's why because the people are from the 3s and 4s who don't have the 4S, we're waiting for the 5.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that kills me about it is that it's a different shape, right? It's like a skinnier and it's bigger and it's this and that. So then all your accessories are garbage too. Like even if you decide to upgrade, you need a new cover and you need a new plug and you need a new car adapter.
They're not stupid.
Like, oh my God.
They're not stupid. Yeah.
Kill me. And then I saw the first thing I saw this morning when I checked my email, I think I had an update from like LinkedIn headlines or something that they just pushed back. Not the shipping date, but I think your expected delivery date if you pre-ordered it online or something like that. I guess they're getting so many orders that they don't think they can fulfill them already. So,
I thought there was a recession.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just me.
No, because you know what else? I did not actually print this headline out, but I also saw a headline that said shopping consumer spending was way up in August. So I don't know. I think people just...
It's because of the iPhone 5.
You could be right.
Well, I believe that. I mean, I'm in the mattress industry, and our sales really peaked high this last August.
People want a new bed and a new phone. Now, I don't know what I just created there, but we're not even going to go there with the beds and the phones, and I don't know. But I think, you know, I think people get to a certain point where even if they don't have money, they just like, all right, enough already. I've scrimped and saved and been good for 2 years or 3 years, or I need to buy some stuff now. And they just, they just can't help it. That's what credit cards are for, she said with a very sad look on her face. All right. Anyway, so that's the iPhone 5. Who's getting one in this room? Anybody? Anybody?
I would like one, but I'm going to wait a little while.
I literally got this 6 months ago, so I just refused to get the 5. I just can't do it.
I'm a lover of Droid. I love my Samsung Galaxy.
And the new Samsung Galaxy is supposed to be better than the iPhone.
As long as they're allowed to keep it.
Yes, I love it. It does everything I need to do. It's user-friendly, and I've had this now 2 years, and it's fell on the floor many times, and it still hasn't cracked.
Yeah. Isn't Apple in, they're in the middle of suing them, right?
Are they?
Yeah, oh yeah. And they won.
They won.
Why? Yeah. What's the premise?
That they stole the design and the I mean, it's ridiculous. The whole thing to me is ridiculous. But, you know, they stole the look of the icons, the slide to open.
Oh.
Well, Samsung.
How can you patent that?
Well, apparently you can. You can now patent the look of an icon.
Oh, geez.
Wow.
Right?
And Samsung's about to, or they're talking about suing Apple because they have patents on LTE.
So they could all just agree to get along and it would be fine.
And then what were we talking about before we get on the air? They'll just be in court forever because that's how that goes.
Right. But they're saying some things like Apple wanted a lot of these products pulled from the shelves and not allowed to Samsung to sell this anymore. Their Galaxy tablets and their phones, right?
It kind of kills me. It is crazy. Also, like, you know what? Have a little deal with a little competition. Like, you don't have to sue people. Let's see how you compete.
Right.
You know?
Now, didn't Apple get their interface from Xerox?
Probably.
From the computers originally?
They? Yeah. I think
you can't create the hottest, you know, thing going and then be shocked when people try to replicate that. I mean, isn't that the whole point?
I think it is the point.
You know?
And it's not going to really – I mean, it's hurting them. I did the air quotes. It's hurting them a little. I mean, there is a market share that likes the Galaxy and like Samsung and whatever, but an Android – and I have an Android too. And my issue, the reason I'm not getting an iPhone 5 is because I'm locked into a contract for the rest of my bloody life, which irritates me. But whatever. It's one of those things. I keep looking at my – account on my I'm not even going to say who my provider is, and I swear to God, every other month they're like, we just extended your contract. I didn't do anything, I swear. Leave me alone.
Yes, that's how Verizon got me.
I think I'm going to sue them.
Upgraded my phone, upgraded my contract.
Right.
Another 2 years.
I know.
Well, if you upgrade, that's your choice.
Yeah.
I know. But you kind of get stuck sometimes. You're like,
if you want the free upgrade, you got to sign up for 2 more years.
Yeah, you kind of get stuck. It's just one of those things. All right. Speaking of competition, there's an Atlanta deal site that I never heard of. You know, these deal sites are all the rage, Groupon and Scout Mob and all these kind of things, right? And there's so many of them now. I don't understand how any of them are making money and how anybody is. I guess it's good for the consumer because you can pretty much buy everything for 50% off or more if you want to. But anyway, there's this company based in Atlanta called Digistrive, which they're actually really smart because they are the deal site that works with AAA Auto Club. So you don't know their brand name because they are basically just the deals you're getting through AAA. Anyway, they raised $3 million in funding. So people are still thinking that this couponing thing is the way to go. And I have to, the only reason I really brought it up is because I do have to applaud AAA for staying current. Because you know how many companies, you know, the ones that made 8-track tapes and such that just didn't stay current, you know, they missed the trend. And AAA has been giving discounts, you know, at hotels and whatever all along. And I kind of forgot about them in a way.
They sound kind of dated. I mean, when you think about AAA, you just.
Right. So you think of triptych, like maps that they're printing out for people. Joel doesn't even probably remember what that is. But and very old school. But apparently they are staying. They've got this now. They've got an online angle and they're trying to stay current. And you got to give them credit for that. And did you know that they are the largest membership club in the world, country, something like that? So even though we think they're outdated, there are a lot of people that are AAA members. So there you go. Do you guys use Groupon, Scout Mob, any of those?
I do.
Do you?
I love it. I love paying $20 for a pedicure and a manicure.
Yeah.
It's normally like $50.
And what do you pay for your pedicures, Gene?
Yes, Gene.
It's been a long time, I'll tell you.
Mine are free. They're called nail clippers.
Nice. It's not really the same experience.
No.
But I guess at the end of the day, you end up with the same results. Yeah. All right. I have to mention this one also because of the Atlanta trade mission to China and all of that. I just saw a headline today that UPS and FedEx have been cleared for domestic deliveries in China, which is kind of cool. They were always, not always, but they've been allowed to deliver to and from China, but not within China. And now they're actually allowed to set up shop and deliver within China. So pretty soon there's going to be a McDonald's on every street corner in China. Just saying. It's just going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's only a matter of time.
They already have them.
On every street corner?
Not every street corner,
but almost. Is Starbucks over there?
They've got to be.
I would be certain that they are, but it's been 3 years since I've been there, 4 years.
Okay. McDonald's is pretty much, or Coke is everywhere. I mean, there's some things like that that are just worldwide brands at this point.
Oh,
doesn't
sure.
matter. Yeah.
Right.
And speaking of Atlanta companies, and we talked about airlines last week a little bit when we were talking about seats. we were talking about the width of space in the seats and people sitting in seats that are too big for a single seat and things like that. Well, Delta,
they're charging,
they're raising their fares. And this is the thing that the reason I want to bring this up, because we talked about iPhone and Samsung Galaxy, and I'm all for competition, but when they raise their fares, like, this is the story. Okay. Southwest Airlines started another round of fare increases and Delta followed suit basically. So, and as did United. So, the thing is, it's almost like they go, ooh, they raised their fares. Sweet. We're going to raise our fares. Like, they don't even, it has nothing to do with what they need, if they need the money, like what their customers need or want. Nothing. It's just
they're looking for an excuse to raise them.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, instead, what kills me is when they say things like they're not allowed to, you know, fix pricing for
right.
all these kinds
oh,
of
yeah.
things. But they,
yeah.
that's what they do all the time. I mean, it seems like they just.
I mean, do you remember when you used to be able to fly and didn't pay for your baggage?
Oh, yes, clearly. And it irritates me that you have to pay for it.
Yes.
Now, we were talking yesterday on a different show about, actually, I was just producing and sitting here listening, minding my own business, which is hard for me. But they were talking about the fact that the passenger carriers are going to actually start to carry cargo as well. So now they're going to charge us for our bags, and they're going to put cargo on those suckers, and they're going to raise our fares, and they're going to crunch us into seats where you have to put your knees basically up your nostrils in order to travel. It's just, it's like, where is customer service gone? You know, back in the day when they had the stews and they had the fancy outfits and they served you and they cared about you and they led you to your seat. You know, it's like,
you're talking about the 50s?
I mean, yes, I am. Okay. Talking about the 50s. I don't remember them. I wasn't born then. But I'm just saying, it's like cattle call now. Like, they're just shoving you in that plane and getting you there and taking all your money out of your wallet while your knees are in your nostrils.
Yeah.
Yes, that's why I'm a fan of buying my ticket the day before the flight.
Does that work?
It works. Every time I went to New York, I've only paid $100 going and $100 back. Versus if you go on the website and buy it last minute deal, it's like $400.
Okay, here's what happens to me every time. If I go to Travelocity and I put in a flight, my wife's family's from Chicago, so we put in a flight plan to Chicago, and I look at the fares and I was like, that's like $350, and I'm like, well, that's a lot or whatever. And I wait, and a day later, I put in the exact same thing.
Yeah,
it's like $600. I'm like, are they tracking me? Do they know I've looked that up?
I think you might
be right.
You
know, I mean, it's crazy. Every time.
You should do Priceline.
Yeah. And I've done Priceline on some things.
It's
good, yeah.
You can bid whatever price you want.
You're the discount gal.
I know. It is.
It's amazing. I believe in paying for something that is worth paying for. But if I can get a deal, I'm going to get the deal.
I like it. I think, I mean, there's a lot of Kayak is the website I always get sent to when I want to get the best deal. People always say, go to Kayak. And that has worked for me. I got some good hotel rates on there. But the thing is, I'm like a planner. I can't do that last minute thing. I'm way too nervous for that. I need to have my tickets and know, because also I'm afraid the price is going to go up. So I want to go ahead and get it when it's the $350, because I'm like, oh, crap, tomorrow it's going to be $450. Now, I will say this. I got a flight on AirTran a couple of months ago. And the next day I looked it up again. I don't know why, but I think I was going to get another ticket for my daughter or something. And I went, and the same flight that I just bought was cheaper. And I called them. I would never have done this, but someone said, just call them. They'll give you a discount. I called them and I said, hey, you know, I just bought this fare yesterday for $320 and now it's, you know, $280 or whatever. And they actually gave me a credit on my account.
No, that's
so
awesome.
You can always call. Just keep that in mind.
Well, I was in Indiana.
Dana's
time,
travel tips.
Flying back to Atlanta. And I had a flight that was around 1 o'clock in the afternoon on the next day. And I decided, you know, I really don't want to be there anymore because it was Saturday. And I wanted to take the earlier flight. And there was a 7:30 flight in the morning. So I called Delta and, you know, like 9 o'clock at night, and said, is there standby room? And yeah, but you can only do standby 2 hours before or 3 hours. You can only call 3 hours before your flight time to check on standby. Mm-hmm. I said, so that means I have to call at 4:30 in the morning to find out if there's a ticket, a seat on this flight. Can't you just move me now because there's seats? No, we can't move you now. You have to call 3 hours before. So I literally had to get up at 4:30 in the morning.
Just to call.
Just to call to move the seat that they already had.
And this is why it's customer
That's
service.
Insane.
Like, you just have to wonder where the policies get in the
makes
way.
Makes no sense.
Makes no sense. All right. There's more apartments coming to Buckhead. I don't know why I printed that story out. Who cares? Okay. Moving on.
I wonder about that too, but I didn't say anything.
Well, you know, I think I brought it up because we always like to see when there's growth But the thing that I thought was interesting about that story, I think, was just that all these companies, these development companies, are coming in and they're announcing all this building in Buckhead, new apartment buildings, renovating apartment buildings, whatever, because of all this commercial that's supposed to be coming in there. But none of them have secured funds. So it's all great to make your announcement, but they don't actually have funds. So just because I just thought it was interesting that it was like an important enough story to make the paper. It was a headline in the paper that more apartments are coming to Buckhead. But not really. But maybe. Like, we'll see.
But don't bring Walmart.
That's what they say.
Yeah, Walmart can't come to Buckhead.
Which is ridiculous. Yeah. But that's just me. Sorry.
All right. I have just a couple little other odds and ends. I have a couple individuals I want to talk about. One smart one and a couple of not so smart ones. So Arthur Blank, very, very smart man. I think no one could argue otherwise. Is getting an honorary doctorate from UGA. He's going to do their commencement address and also get a honorary doctorate at the same time. And I always wonder a little bit about that. Did they have to give him the doctorate to get him to do the talk? Or did they just offer that because they're nice people? I just wonder.
No comment.
No comment from the guy who might know a little bit about that industry. Okay, then.
I don't know, actually, if they do or not.
Yeah, I just always wondered how that happens.
Does he get to put the letters after his name?
I don't know. When it's honorary?
I don't think you actually get to put the letters after your name.
But you get all the fun little tassels and stuff that you get to wear at other graduations. Like, who cares, right? I just always wonder.
Well, no, I think you actually, what they do is you say honorary doctorate.
Okay.
With your name. You don't say
because some people have had more than one honorary doctorate.
Yeah.
Right.
I would just put an asterisk.
Right. Yeah. And very, very, very
real,
small print.
Yeah, in the footnotes.
Right.
I didn't go to one class.
That's right. I want an honorary doctorate from somewhere. I wonder if I can work that out. I'll see what I could trade for that.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. On to the dumb people. There were two that caught my eye in the news. One was the Georgia Department of Revenue employee who was charged in a fraud scheme. It might have seemed like a good idea when they started trying to steal $200,000+ over 3 years with 20 of their friends. You know you're going to get caught when you get 20 people involved. Yeah, someone's going to say something to somebody. But apparently this Department of Revenue employee basically was creating fake accounts and giving tax refunds to people that didn't really exist and in the names of friends and whatever, who were taking these checks and cashing them, and took them 3 years to get caught.
They're watching Superman 3 and decided, hey,
good idea.
We can rip off a little bit of money over a long period of time.
Right. Which I think, you know, did we have this conversation at some other point in our lives, Peter? Because I feel like we've had this conversation. One big one and get out.
Oh,
right?
No, I don't think we have.
That's the way to go.
3 years?
Because when you start
over 3 years
noodling around with this penny ante stuff, you're going to get caught. You know, because then you feel like you got to brag and you got to add a little more, like you were stealing a penny a day. And then you're like, oh, well, I can steal a penny. I'm going to steal a dime. And then the next thing you know, you're busted. But if you just do the one big heist and get out, I'm just saying, go to the islands, call it a day. Again, I'm not suggesting that as a business practice for anyone who's listening, but, you know, if you have a criminal mind, that is my suggestion. All right. The other guy that I thought was kind of interesting was this guy from Philly, my hometown, who sued Hooters for a racial slur on his receipt. Did you guys see this story?
No.
Hooters was in the news a couple times last week. That was one of the stories. The other one was that they're trying to be more friendly to women.
Yeah, I saw that one.
I mean, I don't know how they're going to do that. They're keeping the shorts, so they already lost me there. I don't know. Anyway, this guy, apparently a Korean-American and his girlfriend were at Hooters, and they had their chicken wings and looked at the breastises, and then their waitress brought their receipt, and it said chinks, C-H-I-N-X. On the receipt. Like, somehow I think she must have made a note to try to remember whose check it was. You know, like, she should have put, like, blue sweater, but she put chinks.
Wow.
And
that wasn't her name?
I thought maybe she was just writing chicken and she spelled it wrong. I don't know. But apparently it was clear enough. And I don't know what happened after that. I don't know if he complained to the manager and they didn't do anything or whatever, but he decided to sue. And I kind of hate that, just because I hate that we're such a litigious society that that's where it had to go.
Well, suing over that is a little ridiculous.
That was my problem.
I get insulted 4 or 5 times a day. I mean, if I sued somebody every time I got insulted.
Right. We'd still be in court.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do?
I think it's interesting that people feel like they can sue for any old thing. But the girl that did it, apparently the waitress that did it, is no longer employed by Hooters, which I'm sure at this point, if I were the guy, I would drop the suit now, because that would have been my whole goal. Like, teach her a lesson. That's not how you talk to people. That's not what you do. That's not how you identify people. And maybe he was just irritated because he's Korean and not Chinese. I don't know. Anyway, I just thought it was kind of an interesting story and worth a mention. Moving on. Those are all the headlines. There were lots of other very, very important business headlines, but we don't want to talk about those because they weren't any fun. People made money. People lost money. Moving on. All right, Gene.
Yes.
We're going to talk to you because Jamie Barden was also supposed to be here, and apparently I did not give him a reminder call early enough. So, or he's lost. That could be it, too. But Gene Hammett, owner of Core Elevation. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Without papers in front of me, aren't you impressed?
Yes.
Business coach extraordinaire. Before we get into what business coaching is versus consulting, tell me a little bit about your path to becoming a business coach.
How long do you have?
We got about, no, a couple hours, really. Just settle in. Just make yourself comfortable.
All right. I break this up into three parts, and I'm going to give you the short version. The first part after college, engineering degree, sorry, I was a consultant for 10 years. I did a lot of variety of things. I really enjoyed that kind of work because of the variety. I love the different challenges and the projects work. I did sales. My second phase was I owned my own company for about 9 years. Mm-hmm. It was a wonderful ride. I made a lot of money. I didn't really enjoy the business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that had a reason for the big failure that came up. But on one day, I lost everything.
Yeah.
I lost $3 million on January 15th, 2010.
I would have liked to have just even had $3 million for like a minute. I would have been okay with that. Yeah.
So, you know, I kept my mouth shut when you're talking about take a lot of money at one time.
Yeah.
That's kind of what happened to me.
Oh,
but
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
I didn't mean to, like, you know, dig the knife in and twist it or anything.
I've dealt with this pain and I've moved forward. But I, you know, a lot of people have a lot of questions about how'd you have $3 million? What business were you in? How'd you give it to someone else and they didn't give it back?
Right. They didn't do what they were supposed to.
But the reality of it is my business was fairly risky, but I had a contract. I made deposits on a contract just like anybody else would, according to what my attorneys told me to do. And the vendor just decided not to deliver.
Yeah.
So it's a breach of contract, my air quotes.
Right.
But, you know, the reality of it is he didn't supply any of the inventory. He wouldn't give a refund. And I went and got lawyers.
Now, before we go too far past that, you said something that I think probably resonates with a lot of people, and that is you were doing something for the money. You were making a lot of money, but you didn't love it. You weren't passionate about it. It was never something you did because of love. So,
Absolutely. I had more than 100 conversations with friends, people in the business of, I know there's a better way to make money.
Yeah.
I know there's a better way to live my life.
Do you think, I think there's a lot of people that are probably in that boat right now that are out there doing a job, making money, and they are afraid to give it up because it's secure, especially in this economy, or they just don't know what else they're capable of, or any of those things, or, you know, they don't want to be judged poorly by their family, their friends. They don't want to let their wife down, whatever the case may be. Do you find that to be true?
Absolutely. I mean, studies show that over 90% of the people aren't satisfied with what they do.
It's really
sad. They're not fulfilled. Yes. They're not getting paid what they're worth, and they're either scared, they have some kind of fear that's holding them back,
right?
Or, you know, economics.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, I didn't want to get off of your story, but I just think that's a commonality that you share with a lot of folks.
I do, and the important part that I want to highlight here, I said there's three phases.
Yeah.
The third one was where I got back up.
Yeah.
So I fell down hard. And it was the darkest days I've had in my life. I mean, I know it was just money. A lot of people, I wouldn't compare my loss to, you know, the diseases and the love and everything that's taken away, you know, provided pain to people. But I just lost a bunch of money. But I had to deal with that. I mean, it was huge change for me in my life. But in getting back up, I decided I'm going to make a difference in the world. I'm going to provide value to people first. And the money will come after that.
Yeah.
So, you know, the other business was the opposite. It's like, how much can I make?
Right.
How much can I make off this deal? How much is it worth? If it's not worth it, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
And that was all I did. So that third phase is where I really feel like I blossomed.
Yeah.
As a person, as a dad, as a husband. I mean, it changed my life in so many ways. So yes, I lost all the money I had, all the savings, my house, everything. But
not that you're bitter at all.
No, I'm not bitter. I mean, It was extremely dark, and every time I talk about it, it's like reliving it.
Yeah.
But I make a difference.
Yeah.
Like I found a career that really is a part of me, but I get to share that with people every day. I get to have conversations. I get to, you know, I had a client meeting yesterday. I had a prospect meeting yesterday. I'm making a difference in those lives. I gave a speech yesterday to a group of, you know, 10, 12 people, and sharing, you know, 4 steps to grow your business. Well, it's 4 steps that can be really applied to anything, but I'm making a difference in those 10 people.
Right.
Because, you know, I know they're going to take one piece of that and apply it to their business and apply it to their lives and make it better. Or they're just going to think about it for a while. But it's up to them after that.
Right.
And I really encourage them to take that action. So how do I get to be a coach at Core Elevation? I mean, it was really, I knew I would own my own business. I'm an entrepreneur at heart, but I have a big background in business and consulting, running my own business. A lot of coaches have never run their own business.
Yeah.
They worked at corporate America. I focus on really small businesses, like really one person, 10 people businesses that really want to move to that next level. And it's hard. It's hard to be a business owner.
Yeah.
There's so many things you don't think about. So when I made this transition, it feels like home.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think there's I've heard a lot of different ways of saying this, but one is, you know, if you've won the lottery, and you don't feel like you would immediately run out and quit your job, that's a good sign. You're probably in the right job. Most people, when they say, you know, oh, if I won the $150 million, the first thing I would do is quit my job. I don't think you probably wouldn't, right? I mean, you like what
Absolutely
you do.
Absolutely not.
Exactly.
You would expand.
Yeah.
Right.
I
would totally expand. I would execute on the vision I have in a stronger way so that I can impact more people.
Right.
And not worry about the money.
Right. And the other thing, I think the other way I've heard that said is sort of the reverse of that, which is if you would do it as a hobby and you would do it for free, then you're probably in the right business. You know, it's like the kind of thing that you would do because you love to do it. The time goes by, you don't even notice that time is going by, and you're just getting something out of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, when you are meeting with a small business, have you come across people who are just absolutely in the wrong business?
Absolutely. I've come across, I have to be careful what I say, and I can't use client names.
Of course not.
But
we could just say Joe.
Certainly in the wrong business, because you wonder why they got there in the first place.
Yeah.
But I try to, as a coach, take that judgment out of the conversation.
Right.
And it's hard because I'm asking questions to provoke, you know, their thought process. But if I come from a place of curiosity,
yeah,
it's much better than, what the heck were you thinking?
Right. No judgment. Right. Right. So explain a little bit about, because we talked about this before we got on the air a little bit, about the difference between a consultant and a coach.
So I'm going to add something in there if that's okay. Consulting, coaching, and training.
Okay.
Because I actually do all three within my business.
Okay.
The consultant, which everyone knows about, is the guy who comes into your business, who has some background, some expert knowledge. You tell him about whatever it is, and he tells you what his thoughts are.
And then they leave. I mean, yeah. Having been in consulting, you're very rarely on the hook for the implementation.
Right.
As a consultant. You're the expert. You have all these great ideas, right? And then you're out of there.
Right. The results are
the
not.
The results are not your problem.
Yeah.
A trainer will come in and train you on those ideas, the execution of writing a blog or something like that.
Sure.
As an example. A coach, and I don't say this lightly, has a different kind of conversation with you that allows you to explore what you want for your business. Because I believe we all have unique strengths. We all have gifts given to us. And when the coach has those conversations and you realize for yourself what those next steps are, and you may not have all of the skills available to you to have every know what's available as far as every sales technique and everything like that for your business or marketing techniques. But when you do what you think is right for your business, you're more likely to do it.
Yeah.
And that makes the hugest difference. So as a coach, I'm having a conversation that when the client discovers what that next step for them, they get clarity about it. They get confidence, and it makes all the difference. And of course, as Peter mentioned, a coach is typically there over the long haul. So we help them, you know, come up with those visions and those ideas. We help them assess the opportunities that that are available to them and make commitments to them. And we hold them accountable along the way.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you feel like when you're talking with somebody over a long period of time like that, that they start wanting to tell you all their personal problems too? Just curious, because I know I probably would. I'd be like, so, Gene, let me tell you what happened. I had dinner the other night.
You have to, right? Because that's probably, you mentioned before we started that there's a chief impediment, a primary constraint, if you will, that might hold someone back.
Yeah.
And if it's fear, you got to talk about it, right?
You do. I mean, you're coaching the whole person. You can't just coach the business. Like, let's take sales, for example. A lot of people will have a fear of failure or a fear of rejection.
Yeah.
When it comes to making those calls and making those connections.
I have that. Raise my hand.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
So when I'm talking to a client, I ask them where it came from. And you never know what the answer would be. I mean, I'm just truly curious about this. I have no indication that they're going to say someone hung up on the phone on me one time and I just decided I didn't want to make phone calls. But they come back and said, well, my dad – didn't give me the time of day.
Right.
What do you do with that?
Yeah.
An even better one is I'm not good enough for them to talk to me.
Yeah.
Now, that's personal.
Yeah.
Right. And you can't fix that. Can I add a fourth?
Sure.
That's not probably necessarily specifically in your business, but it's counseling. And that's where the coaching is a little bit of counselor, but it also probably recognizes when it's too much for a coach to really – be responsible for. Is that fair?
There is. I mean, there is the part of the ethics of coaching where I could refer you to another professional that's a better fit for you, whatever that may mean. It could be another coach. It could be a therapist. It could be a counselor. But I mean,
see, I would be afraid to go to a coach just for that reason. They'd be like, you need chemicals and fast.
round the clock
care. Yes.
Straight jacket.
I would venture to say there's not many coaches that would say that.
Yeah.
But just to be clear, my coaching is a little bit different than the typical business coach. I do get into some of those deeper areas where it talks about that fear. Like, I'm not good enough. And I'm losing my headphones here.
Uh-oh.
So, before I became a coach, I wouldn't have known what to do with that conversation.
Yeah.
I would have said, pull up your big girl panties and let's just get going.
Yeah.
Right? But when you have, where does that come from? And you start asking these questions and they have that different kind of conversation, not the conversation they have with their friend,
right?
Not the conversation they have with their partner, their husband, wife. It's a different conversation all about them, because the coaching, if I gave my stories and I lost a lot of money, so maybe I should have this similar kind of fear that you have, it doesn't help. But they have a different conversation that allows them to explore what really is the issue. And just having the conversation is huge.
Yeah.
But then the space in between those conversations, they begin to think about it and process it and grow in a different way. Mm-hmm. So it gives them a chance to
having
really
that experience that you did, losing the money,
probably
adds your credibility, helping people, I would imagine. One hand, it might be hard to reconcile, but from a fear standpoint or from a, someone who's never had a big, and it's not really a failure because it wasn't really something you failed at. It was just more of a business fiasco.
I trusted the wrong person.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's a lesson learned.
It's a lesson learned, but I still view it as a failure that it caused me to learn and get back up.
Right. And that adds to your credibility as a coach, helping people, I would think.
Well, I think, it's interesting. One of the things that I always my own little self-talk when I'm about to do something that I'm scared of is I sort of say to myself, well, what's the worst thing that could happen? Well, I could lose $3 million. That's the worst thing that could happen, But usually it's not nearly that big for me. Usually the worst thing that could happen is like someone's going to say no. Okay, well, I'm no worse off than I was yesterday before I asked.
Well, I think also, does it help you, deal internally with not judging your clients or the person that you're coaching? Does it kind
of... I haven't thought of it that way. But it probably does. I mean,
that's what I would think. The situation basically allows you, when you're talking to an individual and you're coaching them about their business and they're making ridiculous mistakes.
Yes.
And it kind of puts you in the mindset of humbling you, basically.
Yes, I can see how that could work. I knew when this was happening, like I didn't know exactly what the outcome would be, but I knew that it wasn't going well because it happened kind of one day.
Yeah.
January 15th, 2010.
Not that you're bitter or anything.
But, I mean, I track that because I speak about it a lot and I share the message. I knew that I wouldn't hide behind it. I'm going to push it out there and say, this happened. but I got back up.
Yeah. Well, I think in a way, isn't that what you were kind of getting at, Peter, saying, you know, in a way, if someone comes in to consult with me or coach me, who's always been quote unquote perfect, right. I'm going to be less inclined to listen to them because I'm right. just going to think, well, they don't, they've never struggled like me.
Yeah, if someone has never succeeded and they're giving advice on success, that's a problem.
Right.
Right. But if someone has, you know, only succeeded and they're trying to coach someone through who's struggling, they don't, I don't think they have the empathy.
Sure.
To really relate to that person and help them in a way that's meaningful.
Yeah, and I think you can't really meet them where they're at in their circumstances.
Also, I think there's a very important message that I might have to get my soapbox out. But, you know, I think that your definition of success is hugely important because you were making a ton of money. You had enough money that you could lose $3 million. Yet you weren't entirely happy because you weren't doing something you were passionate about. And I would venture to say maybe you're making a little bit less now. I don't know. I haven't seen your bank statements. But I would say that you're probably a lot happier based on the conversation that we're having. And that's success to me.
Absolutely. I never measured my success based on how much money I had.
Exactly.
It wasn't all my money, to be honest with you. I mean, sure. I was caught in the middle of my clients, my investors, my loans,
sure.
and my personal money.
Sure.
I did lose everything. But
on January 15th, 2010,
you got it.
Okay.
Not that you're bitter or anything.
Right.
But it really has changed my outlook.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a shame that we have to lose everything to find that better place.
Yeah.
Because I would much rather have taken what money I had and started a new business.
Sure.
But
you wouldn't have learned that lesson.
I
mean, that's the hard reality is that we have to learn these lessons. And sometimes they're hard lessons.
Yeah.
I truly believe this, and this is kind of a preview to a book that I've been kind of kicking around, is life's tough times can be a gift if you know how to look at it.
Yeah,
I agree.
It really can be a gift. And the techniques that I use to kind of help me get back up were gratitude for G, being thankful for what you have, not for what you don't have. It's huge.
Yeah.
Identity, knowing who you are in this world and what your purpose is. And I didn't have that before, and now I do. F for faith and family and friends, knowing who's there for you. Is it God? Great. Is it your family? Is it your friends? I lost a lot of friends through this. There were people who never called me to this day to say, that's terrible that happened.
Yeah.
And maybe then you know who your friends are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I had
yeah.
some friends that really stepped up and were really amazing.
You know, I have a little personal story on that note. I closed a business about 5 years ago at a bookstore, and I was doing a going out of business sale because it was done. I couldn't do it anymore. It was over. And I had a friend who wasn't even a great friend, a guy I worked with on the side in radio, who was a young guy in his 20s. And I'd met his mother one time, maybe twice. And she just thought I was really good to her son. She just liked the way I interacted with him and whatnot. And so she came to my store during my going out of business sale and literally bought almost every book in the children's section, probably spent $1,200 at 50% off. So she bought a lot of books and donated them all to a school just to help me and help the school. And that was just the most, you know, incredible, like heartfelt thing to do. And there were several people like that who kind of came out of the woodwork, came into the store in tears when they saw that I was going out of business, bought whatever I had, a cookie, a cup of coffee, anything just to help me because they knew I was struggling financially. And I had some quote unquote friends, air quotes again, all over the place, who couldn't even show up and buy one book. And even when I asked them and I said, you know, I'm going out of business, maybe you could stop by. Oh yeah, well, there's probably nothing left that we would want. Really?
Yeah,
that's not the point. Are you hello? So, yeah. You know, it is very interesting who kind of shows up and doesn't. And I think that's another kind of almost good reason for a quote unquote failure, because you sort of figure out who's important in your life and who really cares about you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So that was F for faith, family, and friends.
So we were a GIF.
Yep. And then trust. Trust was huge for me.
Yeah.
You imagine, you know,
after that situation,
after this, I had to deal with the trust, and I've always been a trusting person. Okay. Fault me for that or not. I'm optimistic.
Yeah.
As well. But the trust that really I had to struggle with was my own trust for myself.
Yeah.
Do Trusting I know what my I'm doing? Decisions.
Yeah.
Your confidence.
Forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Understandable.
Absolutely. So this is going to be the book that we'll see coming.
That's out part of the book. I mean, I'm still working on different things and drafting, but it is definitely, something I want to share. I mean, I think in this economy, people have lost things.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, you've had a tough time in business. You've lost a job. You've lost something that has made a huge impact to you. Well, getting back up is the important thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I do want to get over to Jewel, but before we do, I have a couple more quick questions for you. So you talked about briefly, I think this was also before we got on the air, about sort of not leading with coaching in terms of sort of selling your services. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, a lot of coaches will sell coaching as a service and just talk about coaching.
Yeah.
This, you know, we meet 2 times a month. We do this, we do that. And we have these conversations that will drive you forward. But a business owner is not looking for a coach. They're looking for a specific result.
Yeah.
I specifically work with people that are on the front lines for sales and representing their companies because I've had a huge success in sales. I love sales. I love those communications. And I love to figure out how to get a deeper communication with that client. How do you connect with them? How do you engage with them at a deeper level? And if a business owner is looking to have those kind of communications with prospects and clients, they're a great client for me. Mm. And I mean, it's that simple. I mean, it's as far as the business I do, it's extremely rewarding in so many ways.
Yeah. So I think it's just interesting that, you know, I've owned several small businesses and I would have loved to have had a coach. I don't think I could have afforded it. And so I think that's a challenge when you're in a small to medium sized business. But I think when you're framing it the way you do, like if I could have looked at that as, well, I'm going to improve my bottom line by X amount, therefore I can build this into what I'm doing.
Most people don't hire coaches to fix a problem.
Right.
They just don't do it. You know?
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, my clients aren't broken.
Right.
So they hire me to give them a new perspective or help them discover that perspective for themselves.
Well, I can imagine that it has to do more with, like, I know for myself with the bookstore, granted, I got out of that business at the right time. We talked a little bit about books before and where they're going. But, you know, we weren't having trouble. We were doing fine for where we were. It was just that we were having trouble getting it to the next level. If we wanted to go to the next level, how do we do that? We're spending all of our time and energy running this business as it is. And it makes a certain amount of money and it does okay. And it has a certain following, but do we franchise? Do we open a second corporate location? Do we just try to grow this location? Do we move from one spot to another or do we just stay at this level?
Right.
So again, we weren't broken, but we had to make some decisions. And I think that's the time when you, as a business owner, especially a small business owner, I think we were 5 people by the time at the end, you feel like you're kind of alone. And it would be nice to have that professional to go to.
That's a great point there. You're not alone.
I mean,
you can have those conversations. And I truly picked this space in the market, small business, because they can't afford to hire a big consultant to come in
and
work for $10,000 and be there for 2 weeks.
And leave. Yeah.
But for a few $100s a month, you have conversations where you are doing the work. It's authentic to what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you make the decisions and the commitments to move forward. And you have someone to support you along the way. You have someone to hold you accountable. You have someone to really challenge that thinking so that you can move to that next level.
Right.
And, you know, think about it, a few $100s a month. I mean, we spend that, some people spend that on coffee.
Yeah. I might be guilty of that. before we move on to Jewel, any final thoughts? We'll come back to you, but just before we completely switch gears here.
Final thoughts. You know, I
sum it all up.
I really, I'm not going to mention the date again.
January 15th, 2010.
Oh, I was going to say, can't give a good memory.
I'm going to put a reminder in my calendar.
Just call him.
To think of him, yeah, next year.
Is that the name of your book?
No.
Actually, that'd be kind of an interesting.
I think that would be a great name.
My wife's book is Faceplant.
I like that.
Which is lessons for when life trips you up.
Faceplant, I like that. Also, I think you should call your book January 15th, 2010, and then the subtitle should be I'm Not Bitter.
Yeah, I do like the date as the
thank
name
you, Dana.
Of the book, though.
Anytime. You can just
that
use that.
That
free
would be
of
an
charge.
Intriguing title.
Yeah, and it would make me want to read it.
Like, you're like, what happened on January 15th, 2010?
That's a good marketing technique.
I think we just solved some problems for you right there. That's, we'll be sending you a bill for that coaching
fee.
Yeah,
first sentence on this January 15th, I lost everything.
Boom. Right.
There you go. I'm hooked.
Yeah. Yes.
Hooked.
I can appreciate that, but I don't know.
All right. Well,
speaker series and everything.
You think about it.
Traveling around January.
Yeah. For a few hundred dollars a month, I can help you talk through what you might call your book.
That's right.
Okay.
And you could have your publisher like release it on January 15th. That could be your release date. Like, you know, like full circle. Okay. Moving on. Anyway, Jewel, let's talk to you. So Jewel Anderson is a very busy young woman who's got a lot going on. You already mentioned mattresses, which I wasn't even going to bring up, but she's got one job selling. If you can sell a mattress, I think you can pretty much sell anything. Would you agree with that, Jewel?
I would agree.
She loves sales. This girl can sell. And she also, like you, I think, felt the need to get out there and sort of help people. And that is how Under 30 Following the Vision came to life. So tell us a little bit about that, Jewel.
All right. So, like she said, my background is sales. So I love helping people. I love basically figuring out what an idea is bringing is to life. So last year, well, actually about 2 years ago, I started an organization called Virtuous Career Services. It was basically helping people get jobs by writing resumes, teaching people how to write resumes, interviewing skills, preparing them for transitioning out of their current job into a new job. I loved doing it, and I met so many young individuals that were college students, and I'd be talking to them, and they'd be like, yeah, so I'm looking for a job, but this is really my passion. And they had these great business ideas. And I was like, well, what are you doing to put your business idea out there? We're on Facebook, or I'm going to these meetings, but I don't really know what I want to do. So throughout the year, I met so many individuals. And what I did was I came up with the idea of called Under 30 Following the Vision. Under 30 Following the Vision is basically a magazine that helps young entrepreneurs find business development, funding, as well as exposure for themselves working on different projects. The best thing is we started it this year in January. We ran a contest.
On the 15th? No, sorry.
It was not on the 15th. Okay. But we ran a contest where everybody either nominated themselves or their peers nominated them. And they answered about 7 different questions. And the questions was really about their vision, their business idea, or whatever they were working with. The requirements was if they were a business, they had to be a business registered in the state of Georgia. Or if they were a nonprofit, they had to be at least registered in the state of Georgia. The business it didn't have to be finished, but it had to at least been started, meaning you had to at least have been working the vision. So on August 25th, we held a judging. Everyone came in, about 30 of the nominees, and they were judged by high-profile individuals in Atlanta. We had Jay Williams. I'm sorry, that's not his name. Ooh, that's horrible. Jay.
I would say we could edit, but this is live.
Yes. No, that's horrible. He's going to kill me. But we had Jay, for CEO of Hope. We also had Rita Izaguirre, which works with Vision IT. She's also on the board of Gear Up.
Oh, I know Rita.
Yes, really a phenomenal woman.
Fantastic.
Yes. So she came in, as well as a couple other people, and they judged these individuals on their business ideas. And based on their business idea, they were also judging on who would win the scholarship for $2,500 towards their business. It was such an amazing day. It was a 5-hour event, so I thank all of the judges for actually giving 5 hours up on Saturday to meet these individuals. But at the end of the day, we came up with 3 finalists. One of the finalists is a student at Georgia State. His idea is phenomenal. He has created what's called checkyourbookstore.com. So most schools, you basically have to sell your books back to the school at the end of the year, and you get a percentage back. Well, what he's done is created where students can create their own bookstore online and sell their books back to their peers. They can decide what prices they want to use, and it also pairs them. Then the other thing about it is they form meeting places to do the exchange at different local businesses around the campus so that it is out in the environment. And then also the places that they have the exchange at, they get discounts on the deals. We also have another finalist, Coco Curls, Janelle Darden. She basically was working as an engineer, and she was laid off about 4 years ago. And instead of going back to work, she loved doing hair. And she loved trying natural products. So she created an actual hair product for natural hair. She's been doing it for 4 years. She's been making orders out of her house. She has the products. I mean, it's been amazing to meet some of the individuals. We even have a 15-year-old that started her own accessory and bow-making company where she actually has her products in stores on consignment. So it's been a miraculous journey. The magazine doesn't come out until December 2012. We also partnered with Atlanta Business Radio X.
That's
so
right.
We'll actually be turning, the tagline is, it's not a magazine, it's a movement. So we'll be turning it into a radio show starting next year. So we're very excited about that.
That's right. We'll be featuring some of the yes. nominees and the winners and some of the sponsors on a very specific radio show.
I'd have the magazine come out in January, though.
On the 15th,
I would. No, I would. Because that way it's 2013 and it's not been on the shelf for 3 weeks. And
it's old.
Old, last year's magazine.
Interesting. Interesting. There was some free.
This is a suggestion.
Some free advice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So this is going to be a yearly thing. That's the plan.
Yes. Once a year.
And do you see the scholarship amounts hopefully growing?
Yes, that is the plan. We started off with 2,500. I mean, like I said, it's under 30 following the vision. So, of course, throughout the years, as people really get to see what these individuals are doing, the money will increase.
Yeah.
And as people who won the scholarship, built their business, had some success, they'll want to give back and help
yes.
other people in the same situation.
Yes.
I would imagine.
Yes.
Well, if they don't, they're jerks.
Yeah.
No, kidding. Just kidding. I'm sure they're all wonderful, and I'm sure it's very interesting. I'm sure that some of the businesses, I think the younger people right now, I mean, because the economy is so crazy, and like you said, I mean, people, it's so hard to get a traditional job. And when I was coming out of college, you put your resume together, and you stuck it out there, and most people got a job of some kind or other, you know, and you went off into corporate America, and you put on your pantyhose. God forbid, and your suits and your
yeah,
ties.
I hated
you,
that part.
You didn't like the pantyhose?
Right.
Yeah. I could see that wouldn't have been your thing. But I mean, it's so, times have changed so much now, and they talk about how many kids after college are going back to live with their parents because they can't get a job and all of that. So I think entrepreneurship is probably, and the creativity around it is growing more and more in that,
yes.
in that generation.
Yes.
They're the 47% who,
47%.
Always a comedian in the group.
Never mind.
So, Jewel, where do you see yourself going with this? Hopefully this will turn into a full-time thing for you. Is that what you're kind of envisioning? That
That's
this
what
just
I would
becomes
love for.
Okay.
I would like to spread it within different cities. I have a friend, she's in Nigeria, and she's like, I can't wait till under 30 following the vision comes to Nigeria. You can meet all the entrepreneurs here. So really the magazine is just to give hope to the younger generations, you know. Even though you can't find that dream job that you went to school for 4 degrees, there is gifts in within you. Like you said, as a business coach, you actually reveal those gifts within that individual. And those gifts can actually turn into a job. I mean, I've been working in sales for about 15 years now, and this is now another form of sales. So,
do you have an online presence?
Yes, we do have an online
website.
Presence.
Okay.
Yes,
and that
do.
Website is?
Yeah, www.under30ftv.com.
Under30ftv.com, and that actually
following
reminds
the vision,
me.
FTV,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Gene, to jump back to you, if people want to find out more about Core Elevation, where do they go?
January 15th, 2010.
They
just
back.
Go back in
nice
time to
back.
That date.
Yeah.
But your website is?
Core Elevation, just like it sounds.
.com.
.com.
CoreElevation.com and Under30ftv.com also, right? Jewelers at .org.
.com.
Okay. All right. And of course, we'll have all that listed on the website on Business Radio X as well for people that are listening who didn't get a chance to write that down. So under 30 following the vision. Now, what happens if you're under 40 and you want to follow a vision, or you're under 50 and you want to follow a vision? You're screwed.
You have to be well under 50.
I mean, I'm actually not being, I'm kind of joking, but I do think it's interesting. There seems to be, there's a lot of stuff for younger people. In general, you know, if you want to change careers or start something new, I guess I should say, because you're young in your 20s, there's a lot of opportunities, I think. But when you're older, and I guess that's when you just call in a coach, because there aren't a lot of programs like that. If you're 35 and you decide you want to start a business, or you're 45, but I just noticed in the Business Chronicle, I think there was that, you know, they have the, what is it, the 40 under 40 or something like
yeah,
that.
That's what I was gonna say. You guys have 40 under 40.
Yeah. I'm not you guys. I'm over 40. So,
I'm over 40.
I'm over 40.
Yeah. So,
under
so,
50.
Right. So, what happens? But really, I mean, I'm sort of joking in a way, but there's so many people that have been disenfranchised because of the economy that are 45 and 55 and 65 that still need to earn a living. What programs are, I think, Jewel, I think that's where you could do. Like you could do the 40 somethings and the 50 something. I mean, I'm kind of joking on in a way, but I do think there's
opportunity. Different challenges with each age kind of demographic.
That's
right.
I
would agree.
Different. And the one thing the young people have, I think, is time, right? And energy. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you're
lack of responsibility.
Right. If you're in your 40s, you might have small children. If you're in your 50s, you're just freaking tired. You know, you're like, enough already. I've done this 3 or 4 times. Really? I'm disenfranchised again? Crap.
Right.
Yeah. So I think there are different challenges for everybody. So I would just say, and also probably as you get older, you'll be more interested in helping the older people. So we'll wait and see what happens on that front. In the meantime, I think you have some events coming up. Is that right?
No, not yet.
Well,
not
but yet. Coming up at the end of the year.
Yes, yes. At the end of the year is the award ceremony, and that's when we'll actually grant the scholarship to the winner.
Okay.
It'll be a nice dinner.
And that'll be in December?
Yes.
Is that the plan?
December as well.
And if people want to be sponsors or come to the event or find out about next year's program, they just go to the website?
Yes, you can go to the website. We're also on Facebook under 30 Following the Vision, as well as on Twitter for under 30 FTV.
Awesome.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think that about does it for us today. So one last chance, if anybody has anything they want to add. Jewel, any last thoughts? Are you good?
I think you have a remarkable story. That's the one thing I can say.
Thank you. I mean, it's not about the fall. It's about getting back up.
That's right.
And when I'm working with my clients, it's, you know, I hope that they never have to go through anything like I went through to get to a place of fulfillment within their business. Because I truly believe it's about having a business that you love to go to work to. Is about finding your purpose and living with purpose. Mm-hmm. It's been huge for me to make that shift, because I was just in a job and making money, and it, mm-hmm. and I was good at it. But when I feel like I'm really good at it because I'm so engaged, I really care about my clients. And that makes all the difference in the world. And what you're doing is very, very exciting as well.
Thank you.
I think that's kind of our lesson for the day, sort of follow your passion and the money will come. Yeah. So I think that does about wrap it up for us. Of course, I want to thank both Jean and the invisible Jamie, who did not join us, but Jewel, for coming in this week after her car trouble last week. And of course, thanks to my fearless fill-in co-host, Peter Ashley. As always, we want to thank our sponsor, World Trade Center Atlanta. And to learn more about World Trade Center Atlanta, you'll go to their website, which is WTCAtlanta.com. I'm Dana Barrett.
And I'm Peter Ashley. You've been listening to Business Radio X, a proud member of Central Atlanta Progress. Learn more about Central Atlanta Progress at AtlantaDowntown.com. And stay tuned for Southern Hospitality coming up next on Business Radio X.
Good job, Peter.